Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 172, Things You Must Know About Prayer, Part 2. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on February 7th, 2021.
So this morning is Communion Sunday, so we welcome you to join us this morning if you're a believer in Jesus.
Yes.
Communion is for believers, not for unbelievers. Amen?
Amen.
But those of you who are on Facebook or on YouTube, if you're going to join us this morning, we suggest that you get your elements ready. So towards the end of this message, we'll be sharing together the rite of Holy Communion and receiving from God in a mighty way. Praise the Lord. So I'm ministering this morning a continuation of a message that I started a couple of weeks ago on prayer. Our theme is still the same, dynamic prayer with tremendous power. And this is part two of the message, Things You Must Know About Prayer. So it's been said, there is so much in prayer that every one of us could learn if we just keep an open heart to the Word and to the Spirit of the living God. So we want to open our hearts and learn more about prayer, learn more about communicating with our Father, learn more about walking with Him, being closer to Him, hearing from Him, and speaking to Him, not just when we get in trouble, not just when we're okay, but every day, all the time, communicating one-on-one with Him, the one who created us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So last time in part one, we ended with point one, which was prayer is commanded. And we were looking at Luke chapter 18 in verse 1, where it says that Jesus said that men should always pray and not to faint, or men should always pray and not quit. And then it goes on with a story that Jesus told to show or to demonstrate that we should never give up in prayer. And that was the story of the unjust judge and the woman who came and pestered him until she got an answer. Amen? So verse 5 says it this way. It says that this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Now, there's nothing against women here. This is just what I'm reading from the Bible here. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So don't get the eggs and tomatoes out yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 says, then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. I think this is interesting. You know, we can learn from a lot of different ways. But Jesus said we should learn a lesson from an unjust judge. And the lesson is this. It says, even he rendered a just decision in the end. And then he adds, so don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night?
Amen.
Don't you think so?
I think so.
Do you believe so?
Yes.
Will he keep putting them off?
No.
Verse 8. I tell you, he will grant them justice quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? So, prayer is commanded, but Jesus expects us to engage and to have faith.
Amen.
To connect with him in a way that our faith begins to receive answers from him, receive help from him, receive the quest we've made of him. We need to be engaged. We have a part to play. He has a part to play. He says, come and pray. He commands us to pray. But then we should come expectantly, expecting to receive when we pray, believing that we receive. And the Bible says that when we believe that we receive, we shall have. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's just, of course, one kind of prayer. That's the prayer of making a petition or making a request of God that we're talking about in that sense. But Jesus is saying here, he's assuring us that if he's commanded us to pray, it's not just an exercise. It's not just some kind of religious thing. It's not just some kind of exercise that we do. And, you know, it's kind of like a game of chance. Sometimes we hit, sometimes we miss, sometimes we get, sometimes we don't. He's teaching us to be persistent in prayer,
yes, amen.
To be active in prayer, to be engaged in prayer, and to be believing that we're going to receive when we come and pray. Now, when I grew up in the church, I grew up in a church family, and the church that we went to more or less taught that God answers prayer, but he answers in this way: sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes maybe, sometimes if, sometimes wait, sometimes whatever. And I kind of deduced after a while that people were making excuses for God not answering their prayers because nobody really believed anything would happen. It's just a game of chance. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't get it. And that was a little disappointing to me as a young lad. I was seeking after God. I was wanting to know God better. But then when I saw that, I thought, wow, that's a little bit strange. But here, Jesus sets everything straight. He says, how much more? So don't you think God will give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? We should come expecting to receive. We should expect an answer. We should expect our faith is working. We should expect that he's coming alongside of us to help us, sending his Holy Spirit to help us. And as a result, we should see many mighty things happening in our lives all around us. Amen?
Amen.
So we might live in some disappointing times, but God is still on the throne. Amen?
Yes,
amen. He's still able to take us through. He's still able to bless us every day.
Amen.
He's not sitting up there wondering what to do. You know, I wonder if I should do this. He's got a plan. Amen? It's a good plan. And it's laid out in his word, so it's clear. It can be clear to us if we just seek him and just find it in his word. Praise the Lord. So then, just as a part of this, we didn't get to this scripture last time, so I want to give it this time from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. It says, in every place of worship, this is Paul writing to his spiritual son, Timothy, in every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. So there's a way that we should come to God in prayer.
Amen.
We should come to God in prayer free from anger and controversy. You know, sometimes, have you ever noticed, you know, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but it used to happen to Pastor Karen and I all the time when we were going to either a church service or a cell meeting, a small group meeting, a home group meeting, that we would get into a fight. I mean, I know you can't imagine Pastor Karen getting into a fight with a lovely person like me, but it did happen. And it did happen regularly every time we were going to do something spiritual, especially cell meeting or church. And finally, we caught on, you know, there's something wrong with this. You know, we can get along right up until we get in the car, and then over nothing, or almost over something, you know, over some big things, little things, small things, great things, we would get into it. And we discovered that we had an enemy. And the design of the enemy was that we not get to the destination. Because at the destination, there was a blessing. There was a place of blessing. So what Paul is telling Timothy here is he said, in every place of worship, I want people to pray. I want them to lift holy hands. So for all those who are not charismaniacs, this is where we get it. Lift holy hands up to God, free from anger and controversy. So we have an enemy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but we've got to put him down. Take authority over him, get over our anger, get over our frustrations, get over our controversies, and come to worship God with holy hands uplifted. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's a freedom in there. It's freeing to be free from controversy and anger. Amen? Because, you know, anger just kind of boils inside of you and just kind of upsets you and frustrates you and shuts you down. That's the design of the devil, to keep you from worshiping God, the one who created you to be a worshiper. Amen? Praise the Lord. In the Amplified Classic, it says, I desire, therefore, in every place men should pray without anger or quarreling or resentment or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands. So that further defines it a little bit. So point one is really, prayer is commanded, we should do it. Amen?
Amen.
It's not an option. It's not something we do just when we get into trouble. We ought to develop a prayer life. Jesus said it should be consistent and it should be persistent, like the woman who came to the unjust judge. Number two, there are many kinds of prayer. What should you know about prayer? You should know that there are many kinds of prayer. Those many kinds of prayer, each of them have different kinds of rules. The prayer of faith is different from the prayer of consecration and dedication, for example. The prayer of faith, we're believing God to answer a petition that we're making of Him. We're coming to Him with a request. We're believing that we'll receive it. We're releasing faith to receive it. Faith is the hand that reaches out to receive the blessing of God. That's a kind of prayer, and it has some rules with it. The prayer of dedication and consecration is, Lord, you know, I don't know if I should go this direction or that direction. I'm not real sure, but I want to be in the middle of Your will, so I consecrate myself to Your will. I don't want to do what just I want to do. I want to do what You want me to do. And that's a different kind of a prayer than the prayer of faith. It's not believing that you receive a specific thing that you're asking from God. It's just asking that God would reveal His will inside of you and dedicating yourself to do that will, to follow through once you know what that will is. That has different kind of rules for it. And so there are many kinds of prayers. One of the reasons that we're studying this in the Bible study prayer course in our cell meetings is so that you can discover those different kinds of prayers to enrich your prayer life and so that you're praying according to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says this. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Verse 18, again, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. You could say all manner of prayer or all kinds of prayer. Supplication is a term for request or request, all kinds of prayers and requests. And to that end, we're supposed to be alert with perseverance, and we're supposed to pray for all the people who are believers. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In the Phillips translation, J.B. Phillips' New Testament, it says, pray at all times with every kind of spiritual prayer, keeping alert and persistent as you pray for all of Christ's men and women. The Names of God Bible says it this way, pray in the Spirit in every situation, use every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert, use every kind of effort to make every kind of request for all of God's people. So we're directed to use them persistently and consistently, all the kinds of prayers. But here's the question. If you don't know what all the kinds of the prayer are, how can you do that? How can you fulfill that scripture? And so that's a reason that we need to study prayer. You know, sometimes we just kind of take the attitude, well, prayer is just talking to God. And of course it is. But it's also listening to Him.
Amen.
Prayer is not just a monologue, it's a dialogue. God wants to speak to you as you speak to Him. You should be hearing His voice come through as you pray to Him. You know, He's not confused. He can listen and talk at the same time. You know, He's more connected than some of us men. We just do one thing at a time. Just let me focus on one thing here. You know, we kind of, you know, we have that issue sometimes. We're just, you know, just one thing at a time here. Don't overwhelm me here. But God is not overwhelmed. He can communicate with us very well.
Yes.
And He can hear our prayers. Just think of all the prayers of all the people that He is hearing all of the time,
right,
all over the world, 24/7, 365.
Amen.
People are praying and lifting holy hands to Him, and that's because He said do it, right? So He must be liking it, amen?
Amen.
He must be loving it.
Yes.
You know, every day they say 35,000 people come to Jesus in China, just one country alone. 35,000 people today will accept Jesus in China. 35,000, another 25 or 35,000 will accept Jesus in South America, the continent of South America. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yes, amen.
And all those people, they'll be talking to Jesus. Yes. They'll be talking to the Father. They'll be talking to the Holy Spirit. They'll be praying to God. And He's not confused. He's not upset. He's just loving it. They're coming to me. They're talking to me. The Bible says that, you know, those who come to Jesus would never be cast out.
Amen.
He'll never be turned down. Amen. So He's encouraging us. Come, come, pray, speak, talk. I want to hear from you. He's encouraging us to come to Him. So I don't feel like, you know, I'm worthy for Him. You know, it's not about you being worthy. It's about the blood that He shed for you on the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
A little while we'll be taking communion and we'll be reaffirming the covenant that we have with God through the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on that cross, where He set us free from sin and the power of hell and the power of darkness and opened the way for us to have a communication with our Father in heaven.
Yes.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
So He's encouraging it. It's kind of like He's egging us on. Just talk to me. Just talk to me. It's kind of like some wives with their husband. Just talk to me. Just talk. You can.
Praise the Lord.
Honestly, you can talk. Hallelujah. Just talk. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't touch. Just talk. Praise God. Now I'm meddling, okay. So, there are levels. There are many kinds of prayers, and that's why we're learning this. That's why we're studying this, because we want to become more consistent. We want to become more effective in our prayer, life. Amen? Because we love Jesus, and because we love the Father, and we're recognizing that He's the one who reconciled us to the Father. He presented us to God holy and blameless and without reproach in His sight. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
He's an awesome God, and He wants that kind of relationship. He wants us to come to Him like children would come to a parent and ask and make requests. And not only that, just talk, just communicate. Amen. Praise the Lord. So number one was prayers commanded. Number two is there are many kinds of prayers. We ought to learn what those kinds are and use them well. Number three, there are levels of persistence and perhaps also intensity in prayer. You know, sometimes prayer gets really, really intense. My pastor told us a story one time about when he was younger in the Lord, that he got so far into prayer, he was afraid that he wasn't going to get back out. And God manifested Himself in such a way that he was almost frightened, and he ran away from the prayer place because he got so deep into prayer that it was almost frightening because the presence of God showed up in an awesome way. Now, maybe you've not had that kind of an experience, but maybe it's because we really haven't pressed into God in a particular way to get to that place. I mean, you know, sometimes we just say, you know, I've got 5 minutes here, I guess I'll pray. But sometimes, you know, God is wanting more than 5 minutes of your time. You know, you've got 24 hours in your day. Maybe you have to be more particular about being persistent to spend time with Him, to press into His presence and to really communicate with Him. Praise the Lord. So you say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, the Bible gives you instruction for that. When you don't know what to pray, you can pray in the Spirit, right? Like we were doing just a little bit ago. And He understands it perfectly. It's good communication with Him. You don't have to understand even what you're praying, although you can pray to get the interpretation. But it's a way that we can come into the presence of God and begin to press into the presence of God. And it's a way, really, that you can extend your prayer life, really, to do that, because as you begin to pray that way, pray in the Spirit, God will bring things to your mind, and you'll begin to understand, I need to pray for this person, or I need to pray for my family, or I need to pray for myself in this area. You know, most of us are not perfect. Amen. I know some of you are better than others, probably. Just you've got it put together, but most of us need a lot of help. And so we need to pray about those things in our lives where we need help. Amen?
Amen.
things where we need to change, where we need to make some change, where we need to make some big alterations or even small alterations. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there are different levels of persistence in prayer. You know, remember this widow coming before the unjust judge. She was wearing him down. Now we don't have to wear God down because he said already, I'm going to answer you quickly. Amen. But we do need to be persistent about our prayer life is the point I think that Jesus was trying to make. So in James it talks about effective fervent prayer availing much. James chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. We've used this scripture many times, but I think it bears reading again. James 5, 16 says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven." That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Amen.
So it's saying, you know, if somebody's sick, they should come and have the elders of the church pray for them, and the prayer of faith will save the sick or heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he sins, if he's got some sin, they'll be forgiven. Amen. I think it's an awesome promise. I mean, it's just like, wow, God would do that for you, wouldn't he? Because Jesus went to the cross to purchase that. He paid a high price so that could be true for you. Amen? So no matter what your deal was or what your past has been, Jesus went to the cross and he purchased forgiveness for you. He purchased healing Amen. For you. He purchased deliverance for you. Yeah. Now all you have to do is step into it and walk in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So then it says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Confess your trespasses one to another. Now that's not something most people like to do. Amen? Most of us don't even like to own up to our trespasses, amen? Much less confess them to somebody else. But he says here, we should do that so that we can walk in a continual state of healing and wellness and wholeness, amen? It's powerful that when you get that stuff out of you and off of you, it's powerful release of what God will do in your life because now you're free from it. Amen? You don't have to carry it one more night. You don't have to carry it one more day. Your past is behind you. It's under the blood of Jesus. And you're free. But if you keep holding it and keep holding it and keep holding it, you have to live with it one more day. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament about Pharaoh. You know, Moses came to set the people of God free. And because Pharaoh had a hard heart, God had Moses doing these signs, wonders, and miracles, kind of signs and wonders, I guess most of them would be called, to demonstrate to Pharaoh that God was supreme and that God was the God, the only God, the only true God. And Pharaoh kept saying, "No, I'm not going to let the people go." And every time he said he would let them go, then he changed his mind. And so all of these plagues began to come on the Egyptians because the Pharaoh had hardened his heart against the will of God. So one of the plagues was the frogs. Remember the plague of the frogs? So the frogs were everywhere. The frogs were in the bed. The frogs were in the frying pan. The frogs were in the cupboards. The frogs were in the palace. The frogs were in the outhouse. The frogs were everywhere. And Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, "Okay, so you see this is God." And he said, "Please tell God to take these frogs away." And Moses said to him, "When do you want him to take them away?" And Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow." "Okay, tomorrow it is. Just sleep with them frogs one more night." But you know, we laugh at that because it's Pharaoh, but what about us? Do we want to sleep with them frogs one more night? Or do we want to get rid of them today? Amen? Praise the Lord. So confess your trespasses one to another. It's a method. God is laying out an instruction here that will help you and bless you. Pray for one another. It's number two. Amen. That you may be healed. Number three. So sometimes we're not receiving what God wants to give us because we're not following the instructions. These are easy instructions. maybe not so easy to do because we have to put down our pride, right?
Right. Yeah.
We have to lay down some things in order to do this. But when we do, what is the end result? The end result is healing.
Yes.
Amen? Praise the Lord. So, maybe I should just caution you. I don't think he's talking about going out in the street somewhere and finding somebody. You know? But there are people that you can trust. There are people that will pray with you, that are honest with you, and are not going to blab your stuff all over town. Amen?
Amen.
And if you use this in that fashion, this can be a tremendous blessing to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is not about exposing you to the world. This is about exposing yourself to God and to a brother, a sister, the family of God who can help you and bless you. Praise the Lord. Verse 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. In the New Living, it says, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And then it gives that example of Elijah, how he prayed and how it was effective. So there's a tremendous amount of power that's associated with prayer, more power than we've ever used, I'm sure. But we still have the potential to use that, and the potential to bring change is tremendous because the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous person will bring wonderful results. But you have to believe that. You have to believe that your prayer is going to have that effect. You have to believe that your faith is going to bring that kind of an answer. Elijah was a person of faith. He wasn't a perfect person because we know that after he did all these signs and wonders and whatever, that he ran from a woman. He ran from Jezebel, and he went and hid, and he got depressed. And he said, God, there's nobody else except me. I'm just the only one left. I mean, it wasn't true because God said there's lots of people that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And you're not the only one. So he had a wrong perception of himself. He got down in depression, and he let it get him down. And God basically had to give his ministry to another person. He said, now I want you to do this and this and this and anoint a person to take your place, and I guess you're done. But yet he was a great man of God, and his prayer of faith availed much. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, one more scripture about parting your heart into your prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 7:14. I'm sure you've heard this many times. It says, if they pray to me and repent and turn from the evil they have been doing, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and make their land prosperous again. It starts out with, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, is another translation. If they pray to me and repent and turn from the evil they have been doing, then I will hear from heaven. So there's one thing that can block prayer. It can block the answers to prayer. It's to have unrepented sin in our lives. So we should deal with that. This morning we're going to receive communion together. One of the things that we ought to do, the Bible says, is examine ourselves so that we can come with a clean slate and come to God forgiven and take communion together forgiven and set free from those kinds of things. So if we have some stuff, I mean, there's still some time between now and when we actually receive communion, that you can be personally talking to God about, you know, whatever your deal is, if you've got something. We're instructed to do that because we want to receive the full benefit of the blessing that God has for us in communion and in our relationship with Him. So if they come and pray and repent and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will make their land prosperous again. God wants to prosper you. He wants to keep you in good health, even as your soul prospers, like it says in 3 John verse 2. But you have to be engaged. You have to be yielding yourself to Him in order for Him to work that work inside of you. So what should we come away with these things? There were three things that I talked about there that Jesus commanded us to pray and not to quit. There are different kinds of prayers. There's different levels of prayer. So what should we come away with? I saw this scripture from James chapter 5 that I thought fit really well, that after you come to God and you've established your prayer life, you're working on your prayer life, you're extending your prayer life, that there's a need for this. In verse 7, James chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "So be patient, brothers, as you wait till the Lord comes," or till the coming of the Lord. "See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until he receives the early and the late rains. So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Look, the judge is already standing at the door." He's standing at the very door, the Bible says. So, of any generation that's ever lived in the history of the world, we're closer to that day than any other generation. We can say that with certainty because they're gone and we're here. Amen. And he says the judge is standing at the very door. One day we'll see him face to face.
Amen.
When he comes, we'll see him face to face, the Bible says, and we're closer to that time than ever before. So in times of stress, many people, including Christians, instead of turning to each other, they turn against each other. Maybe you've seen some of that in today's world of politics, in today's world of media and so forth and so on, or social media where people are turning against each other and so forth and so on. You see people tearing each other apart. But the Bible says that we should not do that in times of stress. We should draw near to God and we should pull together. Amen? Yeah. So what's the answer? The answer is we should examine ourselves and repent, because the judge is already standing at the door. It's very near. Unless this becomes real to us, we're just going to stay like we are. But when it becomes real to us that Jesus is coming back, and it could be very soon, could be sooner than we think, then we can live in a different way. We can live in a pertinent way, a particular way, expecting his return with anticipation, with joy, and not with terror, because I'm not ready for him to come yet. Just, you know, wait one more day. Just wait one more week. Just, I got to get these. I want one more week of whatever. I want one more night of the frogs, you know, whatever our thinking is, you know. Sometimes our thinking just gets messed up, right? But when we get the Word of God on the inside of us, then we have to say, you know, Jesus is coming. And that's the most important thing. And look at all the people that don't know him and what will happen to them if we don't talk to them, if we don't share with them, if we don't represent his kingdom well. Right. What will happen to him if we're just letting it all hang out and being angry and confused and out of sorts with each other? And they look and they say, well, you know, if Christians are like that, I don't want to be like that, you know. What kind of witness are we giving? And I'm speaking to myself as well, you know, we just need to be the kind of people that God has called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Because other people's lives are dependent on it. So what do we need to do? We need to just examine ourselves and repent, right? Repent means not just say, I'm sorry, but repent means to turn from it. Say, yes, I'm sorry, and I'm turning, I'm changing. I'm turning around from this thing. Praise the Lord. Do whatever we can do to make it right. If we've wronged somebody, let's make it right. Amen?
Amen.
So let's own up to it. Amen. I did this. It was wrong. I'm sorry. What can I do to make it right? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So examine yourselves. Repent. The judge is at the door. We're having communion today. We can put it under the blood of Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. He's forgiven us. He's set us free. And now we can live a new life committed to him. Praise God forever. So let's close today with this example from the early church, what they did, how they prayed in stressful times. And then we're going to receive communion this morning. This is from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. This is a story about Peter and James. Peter and John were put into prison. Peter and John were chastised by the priests and the religious people for healing this sick man at the gate called Beautiful. They told them, "We don't want you speaking in the name of Jesus ever again. Just leave his name out. Just don't talk in his name. You can do whatever you want. Just leave Jesus out of this." And they said, "Well, you can say what you want to say. You can do what you want to do, but we're not going to shut up."
Amen.
We're going to keep saying this. So verse 23 says, "When they were released, Peter and John went to their fellow believers and reported everything that the high priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices to God with one mind and said..." Now, they raised their voices. Everybody say, "Raised their voices."
Raised their voices.
Okay, so this wasn't quiet closet prayer, right?
Right.
Okay? There is a place for quiet or for closet prayer. I mean, you lock yourself in your closet and you scream or you say it quietly, however you do it, you know, however you have your prayer time with God. But then there's another kind of prayer. This kind of prayer was people raising their voices to God with one mind. It says with one mind. What does that mean? They were unified. They were in unity about this thing, what they were going to pray, what they were going to say. I don't know exactly how they did this. I don't know if they rehearsed it. I don't know if they were reading it. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it says that they raised their voices to God with one mind and said, "Master of all, you who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything that is in them, who said by the Holy Spirit, your servant David, our forefather, together with the rulers assembled together against the Lord and his Christ. For indeed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel assembled together in this city against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do as much as your power and your plan decided beforehand would happen. And now, Lord, pay attention to their threats and grant to your servants to speak your message with great courage while you extend your hand to heal and to bring about miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God courageously." Isn't that amazing? So instead of praying for protection or, "God, don't let us end up in jail, don't let us get beaten," they just said, "Lord, just give us boldness to speak your word as we ought to speak in a time of stress, in a time of problems." I mean, they didn't know who was next. Who is the next one that gets hauled before them? Who is the next one that gets ostracized? Who's the next one that gets excommunicated? But they just said, "Let us speak boldly in the name of Jesus. Just give us the courage, give us the boldness to do that in a time of stress." Now, we live in a stressful time. I think everybody understands that.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff going on, stuff that we don't like, stuff that we don't appreciate, stuff that you don't agree with, and so forth and so on. So you can let that stuff get on top of you, or you can get on top of it.
Amen.
And the way you get on top of that is to pray like these people pray. Pray for boldness. Pray for strength and courage and victory in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. And rise above the situations, the circumstance, and all the stuff that this guy says or that guy says or this media says or that media says. God is better than this, and he's stronger than this, and he's got something for you. But you have to come through. You have to rise to the occasion. So as we take communion this morning, we should be asking him for boldness to speak as we ought to speak. Amen?
Yeah.
We should be allowing him to pour his presence into our lives in a special way so that when we come out of this place today, we're a different kind of person. We're a person of boldness. We're a person of conviction. We're a person of repentance, a person that's laid down ourselves so that we can be what God wants us to be through the power of the name of Jesus and through the blood that he shed and through the authority that he's given. Amen? So is that easy on the flesh? No, of course not. We have to die to the flesh and live to God. Amen? That's the way of the believer. But it's a great way because it's a way of freedom. It's a way out. And otherwise you end up living just like the rest of the world does. And they're distressed and they're confused and they're oppressed and all of those kind of things. But you don't have to live that way. You can come out of this place with victory today. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So when they were praying this way, one of the things that it struck me is that they were reminding God that He was a covenant-keeping God. They had a covenant with Him, and they were in unity about this. When we come to God, He's going to pour boldness and courage into us. I mean, they had confidence that when they came out of that place, that's what was going to happen. And so God, I guess, physically shook the place. Maybe as a sign to them of His presence, of His greatness, of His goodness. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they all began to speak with courage and with boldness. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. So this is attainable. If it happened for them, it can happen for you. It can happen for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. So they were reminding God of His covenant. They were asking Him to honor it through healings, signs, and wonders. In other words, when they left that place, healing, signs, and wonders were taking place. The blessing of God was flowing in a mighty way. And people were receiving everywhere that these guys went. These people went out of this place because the presence of God was so strong on them. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26, it says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case." So one of the things that communion is about is to put God in His remembrance, in remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, and to put us in remembrance of what He did at the cross of Calvary. You know, memorials are for you to remember. In the Old Testament, they had different kinds of festivals. The Passover, which Jesus celebrated, in which He instituted what we're going to do this morning, the Passover was a reminder to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, that God had delivered them out of Egypt. You know, the Bible says that when the angel of death came in and he saw the blood over the posts, over the doorposts and on the lintels of the houses, that the angel of death passed over those houses. But anybody's house who didn't have the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, the angel of death took the firstborn. Took the firstborn of every animal in that house, took the firstborn of every child in that house. All over Egypt, the firstborn died. But where there was blood, the blood of the lamb was on the posts. The angel of death passed over. And this was a reminder, even to this day, the Jewish people celebrate Passover for the same reason, to remind them of the covenant that they have with God. So the Bible says that you and I have a new covenant. It's a new covenant established on better promises. It's the covenant that was ratified by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary because He was the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the earth, slain for our sins, slain for our sicknesses, who took our sicknesses in His own body on the cross, the Bible says, that we should be dead to sin and alive to righteousness and healed by His stripes. Awesome, awesome blessing that comes when you receive what He has provided for you through the cross that He died on. So when God responded to these people who were praying, He responded with a shaking and a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, as we come to God in communion, we can have that same shaking on the inside. We can have that same revelation of His covenant, revelation of His presence in our lives, that we come out of this place with courage and with boldness and with new victory and new spring in our step. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it's a time of covenant remembrance. The Bible says that when Jesus was having this Last Supper with His disciples, it says that He took the bread and He broke it and He gave it to His disciples and He said to them, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you." He was showing them that the covenant of God was about to unfold before them. The covenant that God had made with people from the beginning, even in the Garden of Eden, when he said to Adam and Eve, I will put enmity between you and the woman. I will put enmity between his seed and your seed. And he will strike your heel, but you will crush his head. So at the cross, Jesus crushed the head of the enemy. The devil thought he had the victory. The devil thought he had Jesus finally where he wanted him. But he didn't know he was coming out of the grave. And when he came out of the grave, he came out with victory. And that victory belongs to you and belongs to me. And as we take communion this morning, we are partaking of the results of that victory. Amen. So I'm going to ask the ladies to pass out the elements. Those of you who are on Facebook or on YouTube, you can get ready to receive with us today. And while they're doing that, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the power and for the authority of Jesus' name. We thank you that your word is supreme and that you will never go back on your word. You said that your people who are called by your name, when they humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you will hear from heaven, you will forgive their sins, and you will heal their land. So we're in expectation today as we receive the body and blood of Jesus, as we receive from you, from heaven, we're expecting, Father, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're expecting, Father, to receive a fresh lease on life. We're expecting to receive courage and boldness to speak as we ought to speak. And we're just asking you, Father, to confirm that in a mighty way in each life today. We're thankful for it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.